Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Judah versus Malignaggi undercard conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for questions and comments. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference call over to Kelly Swanson. Kelly, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, operator. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We appreciate your patience in getting through. We have four fantastic fighters that are going to be available to talk to you and answer your questions about their fights on the December 7th Zab Judah Paula Malignaggi undercard at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. This call is with Devin Alexander, Sean Porter, Irislanda Lara, and Austin Trout, and we're going to start the call with Austin Trout and Irislanda Lara, and then we will switch over to Devin Alexander and Sean Porter immediately following this portion of the call. So we're going to open it up right now, and I'm going to turn it over to Richard Schaefer, Chief Executive Officer of Golden Boy Promotions, to make the introductions. Richard?
Thank you, Kelly. Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon. You're right, four great fighters on the phone here, but we're going to have four great fights on that card. It's going to be a quadruple header with three world title fights, Sakio Bika against Anthony Dirrell, opening up the night, and then Lara against Trout and Alexander against Sean Porter. And then, although no world title at stake, I think it's going to be the pride of Brooklyn belt, Malignaggi against Zab Judah. Tickets are going extremely well. I do anticipate the largest yet crowd at the Barclays Center on December the 7th. Tickets are priced very attractively, starting at $25. $50, $75, $125, and $250. I'd like to thank our sponsors as well, Corona, AT&T, and Grudmatch. Yes, the movie is Grudmatch is a sponsor of this event, and I'd like to welcome as well a new sponsor, Casamigos Tequila, which is one of the fastest-growing tequilas here in the United States and, of course, in Mexico. It's owned, among others, by George Clooney and Rand Gerber and Cindy Crawford. So I really want to welcome Casamigos to the boxing family. The Showtime telecast is going to start at 9 p.m. Eastern. And I'd like to introduce now the two fighters which are going to be fighting for the WBA interim super welterweight world title, 12-round fight. First up, I'd like to introduce to you Austin Trout with a record of 26-1 from Las Cruces, New Mexico, fighting out of El Paso, Texas. We all know he's the former WBA super welterweight world champion, a belt he won over Rigoberto Alvarez in February 2011. He defended the belt successfully four times and then lost, including against Miguel Cotto, which was a great performance there at the Madison Square Garden. So for him, it's coming home to New York, to the place where he had the biggest victory of his career. And so without any further ado, I'd like to introduce to you now former WBA super welterweight world champion, Austin, no doubt, Trout. Austin, are you there?
This is the operator. It appears that he dropped from the conference call, so we're going to try to connect him again.
Thank you. I know he was on. I know he was on because we talked. We talked before the.
Go ahead and go with Laura then.
Okay, so. He is going to be fighting Irislanda Lara, one of the greatest amateur boxers to emerge from Cuba. In 2011, he lost a highly controversial decision over former world champion Paul Williams, but then followed up with impressive knockouts over Ronald Hearns and outpointed Freddy Hernandez. And then in one hell of an exciting fight was his 10th-round technical knockout victory over Alfredo Angulo earlier this year. And so now here on December the 7th, Lara will face Austin Trout for the WBA 104-pound crown. These Lara and Austin Trout are without any question the two of the top five pound-for-pound, 154-pound fighters. Most experts have him ranked right there, number three and four. So this is a very meaningful matchup in this division, in a division, I might add, which is loaded, and there's a lot of good names out there. So I'd like to introduce to you now, with a record of 18-1-2 with 12 knockouts, from Cuba, now fighting out of Houston, Texas, Erislandi Lara.
Erislandi, unos comentarios, por favor.
Comenta la cosa, comenta la cosa.
He said hi to everybody.
Is that all he wants to say?
Yeah, ¿puedes un comentario de tu entrenamiento, cómo va todo?
Va, todo va marchando bien, todo va camino, gracias a Dios, todo va camino a la pelea como esperamos, todos nos encontramos en perfectas condiciones, estamos trabajando bien duro para esta pelea.
He said, I'm working very hard in the gym, thank God that everything's going great. Just waiting for the date of the fight, but everything's going very, very good moving forward.
Okay, great. Do we have Austin back on the line?
Yes, I'm back. I don't know what happened. Y'all hung up on me.
That's okay.
Okay, so Austin, do you want to? I already introduced you as you know, the former world champion, great fights, Cotto, biggest fight, and coming back to New York. So it's now I'm handing it over to you to make some opening comments, please.
Well, I want to thank God for the opportunity to get right back to the position where I left, where I thought I belong. You know, it's an honor to be able to fight a good fighter like Erislandi Lara. I only want the best, so a fighter like Lara is right there in my resume to be fighting the best and beating the best.
Great.
Okay.
Kelly, do you want to open it up for some questions?
Sure, absolutely.
For either Lara or Trout.
Yes, and Eric Gomez is on the line for translation for Mr. Lara.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. And our first question comes from Mike Woods with Sweet Science.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the time to do the call. First question is for Mr. Trout. Austin, I'd like your assessment of Erislandi Lara. What does he bring to the table? What do you think of him technically, and how do you plan to beat him?
Well, you know, I'm not going to give all my gifts on how I'm going to beat him, but, you know, he brings a very strong technical amateur base to it. He, you know, he's very experienced, having a lot of fights in the amateurs. You know, he has a lot of ring generalship, and I feel like where he excels in technicalities, you know, footwork, speed, precision. I feel like he lacks with heart and will, and we're gonna go ahead and expose that because I'm a technical fighter as well. But as I feel like I've proven, I've got the heart and determination to win in all different types of scenarios.
All right, that's a good assessment. The question for Erislandi, what do you think of Trout technically? What does he bring to the table? And I'd like you to comment on him saying that you maybe lack the heart and the will to win.
La pregunta es para ti, Erislandi. ¿Tú qué piensas de Austin Trout técnicamente como peleador? Y Austin Trout acaba de decir que él piensa que tú quizás no tienes el corazón para boxear, para ser un campeón.
Austin Trout es un boxeador, es okay, no un boxeador, no un boxeador que no, tú sabes, un boxeador que no ha hecho nada, en la malla de una foto ya viene ya en las últimas, está en las últimas, yo le voy a demostrar a él quién tiene corazón, si yo lo digo, vamos a verle en el ring, a mí no me preocupa lo que él hable ni lo que él diga, lo mío es enfocarme en lo que en mi trabajo, y lo veremos el 7 de diciembre. Quiero que siga con los mismos cojones que tiene puesto y a ver qué trae.
Okay, his answer was, you know, Austin Trout's an okay fighter. There's nothing special about him. I feel that he's on his way out. He had his time, and I'm going to prove that. And as far as having a heart, then, you know, let's see in the ring. I'll show him in the ring who has a heart or not, and we'll decide then.
And Richard, you're still on the call?
Yes, I am.
You talked about these being two of the best here at 154. Don't know who's going to win. It's kind of a coin flip fight, but I am curious. Do you have any ideas on what will happen with the winner? Who might the winner face?
Well, you know, you have Carlos Molina, you have Canelo Alvarez. You know, there's obviously Floyd, but I don't see Floyd fighting at 154 unless it's a really big, like, you know, undisputed middleweight, junior middleweight fight, that kind of thing. You have Angulo still there. You know, you have a bunch of guys, so we'll just have to see on how that will match up with the calendars of some of those names I just mentioned now. But I can definitely see a potential fight down the road with Canelo Alvarez.
All right, excellent. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good fight.
Our next question comes from Lem Satterfield with RingCV.com.
Hey, guys. Obviously, Richard just said it. You know, you both have, well, you've already fought Canelo, Austin, and Erzlandi has wanted Canelo for a long time. How much incentive does that, having his name out there as an immediate fight, how much incentive does that add to this fight for you guys? For each of you?
I'm not worried about Canelo. My focus is on Lada. You know, whether Canelo takes the fight with the winner, that's great. You know, I don't know or believe that he will. But regardless of that, if he does or not, you know, my whole focus is beating Lada and getting him on his way out.
Erzlandi, same question.
Erzlandi, obviamente, acaba de decir Richard Schaefer que el ganador posiblemente podría pelear con Canelo. ¿Qué significa eso para ti? ¿Estás pensando en eso o estás enfocado en Austin Trout?
No, ¿qué pasa? No. Lo principal en esta pelea es ser victorioso. Entonces, después de esta pelea, que venga el que quiera, no me voy a enfocar, no me voy a concentrar en mi trabajo. Estoy concentrado ahora en partir la boca a Austin Trout, que es lo más importante de mi carrera ahora, y después venga cualquiera.
He said that... You know, he's not even thinking about that. He's not even thinking beyond this fight. I mean, his job is to first beat Austin Trout, and then after that, all the other doors are going to open up, and he'll take on all comers. Right now, he's just focused on the fight, and he's focused on busting up Austin Trout's mouth.
Okay. One more question for each of you. Austin, the last time you fought a southpaw was David Lopez, and we all know how Erzlandi did against Paul Williams, who was a southpaw. Can each of you address what the difference is for each of you in facing a southpaw of the caliber that you're going to face on December 7th?
Well, Lada's not David Lopez, and I'm not Paul Williams. But, you know, the comparison is not really there. You know, David was a bigger, stronger dude, in my opinion, but he was also slower. So to try to look at that fight towards this fight, you know, it's apples and oranges. You know, he's a different caliber of fighter and a different breed, and I'm going to make him look like the amateur he is.
Okay. Erzlandi, same question.
Can you repeat the question, Lem? What was the question?
Yes. Basically, I wanted to see if each of them, if Erzlandi could assess what it's like to face not only a fighter of Austin's caliber, but a southpaw. Obviously, I know how he did against Paul Williams. How is Austin different from Paul Williams, but also how is his southpaw style different from facing the orthodox style?
Okay, Erzlandi, las preguntas para ti, ¿Qué crees o qué sientes estar peleando con un zurdo? Obviamente, una de las últimas peleas que tuviste con un zurdo fue Paul Williams. ¿Es mismo que Paul Williams, Trout, o es un poco diferente? ¿Qué significa para ti?
La única diferencia de Trout y Paul Williams, que Paul Williams, como vamos a irnos a los mexicanos, que Paul Williams tiene huevo. Paul Williams, boxeador, de pie, Paul Williams sabe boxear y sabe... a la calle, pero vamos a ver, yo quiero, y la diferencia de Trout, que Trout es un boxeador, un estilista corredor,
pendejo,
es lo único.
Well, the big difference is between Paul Williams and Austin Trout is that Paul Williams had balls.
Oh,
was a fighter. He was a fighter that they would attack you, and he was aggressive, and he would come at you, and he knew how to box as well. You know, with Austin Trout, he's just a guy that runs. He's a fighter that runs.
Thank you very much, guys. Good luck on December 7th. Sounds like it's going to be a good fight.
Thank you, Lem.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Dan Raphael with ESPN.
Hello, everybody. Austin, how have you been?
Good. How you doing, Dan?
I'm good. My question for you, Austin, is, you know, it's been since April where you had the fight with Canelo. A lot of people thought you did enough maybe to get the decision in that fight. And I'm wondering, you're coming back now, end of the year. How much excitement is there for you to get back in the ring? I know that fight didn't go the way you wanted. Just your general enthusiasm for the combat once again.
Oh, man, I'm super excited to get in the fight. I really wanted to fight, you know, as soon as I could. I wasn't injured. I wasn't, you know, necessarily beat up. But you know, as fate has it, I had to wait till December. So, you know, all that anxiety has been built up, and I'm ready to take it out on a lot of somebody's got to get rid of this guy, and I'm happy to be the one to do it. I feel like I'm the only one that's going to do it. So it's really honorable to be able to get in there and get my belt back at the same time.
Now, when you to Canelo in what, by all accounts, was a very close fight, and then you watch Canelo go in his next fight in the humongous event that he had with Floyd and lose, in the estimation of most, a completely one-sided decision, did you sit and watch that and think to yourself, boy, man, I would have done a lot better against Mayweather than this guy just did?
Most definitely. You know, like I said, Canelo had his best fight of his life when he fought against me. And in my opinion, I give myself maybe a 7 or 8. It was definitely not my best. And then he goes in and has a definitely an off night for him, you know, by his standards. And that was the number one thing I thought. Like, come on, Canelo, you're making us both look bad, one. And two, you should have just let me go ahead and get that fight, because I sure would have put up a better fight than that.
And now, the other big name opponent that you fought, which is Miguel Cotto, who you beat in a fight that there was no controversy about. You know, he's come back and got a victory last month, and now he is now in contention to fight a big fight with Canelo Alvarez, another huge fight. The guy that you beat, do you feel like, I mean, you know, he's a bigger name, I guess, he's a bigger draw, but do you sort of, does the competitive unfairness maybe gnaw at you a little bit and make you more motivated to go out and kick some butt against Lara?
I use it all as motivation. You know, that it's not necessarily the best fighting the best in this game right now, except for the fact that me and Lara fight each other. But it's more, I think the reason why we're fighting each other is because nobody else wants to fight us. But you know me, I'll take all comers. And for him to say, hey, I ain't got no balls, he ain't never watched me fight, which is fine. He can sleep on me if he wants to. You know, it's the golden rule. The person that makes the goal makes the rule. So I can't be bitter about it, because that's something I ain't got control over. You know, I just got to do what I can do at the opportunities that come my way. And best believe I'm going to make the most of this opportunity that's presented itself.
So when you saw Arislandi's last fight, which was, you know, a much more action-packed fight than we've seen him in typically when he fought. What did you think about that? It seemed like he, you know, he took advantage of the shortcomings that Alfredo Angulo has, but he also fought in a much more crowd-pleasing way than he has in the past. Did you think he changed his style a little bit in that fight, and what did you make of it?
Well, I think he had to. You know, he had to fight. Angulo was coming for him, and Angulo was touching him. And you know, you're either going to fight or flight. And, you know, him being a fighter, he fought some, but he did run a lot. So, you know, he chose both.
Okay, I just have one more question for you, Austin. I think maybe you tell me if I'm wrong here. I think part of the reason why you have not fought since April was you were going through the legal situation and your separation from your previous promoter. Can you talk a little bit about just the whole aspect of going through the separation and dealing with the legalities and not sure, you know, when you'd be allowed to fight again?
Gladly. It was hard to not know when you're going to be able to work again. I felt out of work. I felt like I was, you know, waiting for my unemployment check, which was not coming anytime soon. I'm very happy and proud to say that I am not with Greg Coleman Promotion. It was the best thing that could happen to my career as this year goes, and I'm just happy to put that all behind me and move forward.
What actually happened in that? What was the disagreement?
He was trying to sue off of some bogus basis. You know, the words forgery can be used very heavily, So, you know, without going into much detail, I'm just happy that it's over with. And now Showtime and Golden Boy, they know that it was all bullshit. So to get that bullshit aside, I'm ready to fight. And that's also motivation to whoop a lot of his ass.
And are you so did you sign with Golden Boy now?
I am not signed with Golden Boy technically, but they have promoted my last 4 or 5 fights.
Right, understood. Okay. Okay, awesome.
We have a great relationship. As you know, Adan is with Al Heyman.
Right.
And Al and me work very closely together. So even though it's not signed, you know, Floyd Mayweather is not signed with us either. But sometimes those contracts where you don't have a contract are maybe the best one.
I understand that. I just wanted to know. I know you guys have a good relationship. I just wanted to know the technical fact of whether he was under your promotional contract. I know that he's with you guys and
correct.
Are so good. So thank you, Austin. Good luck in the fight. Appreciate your time. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Dana J with On the Rope.
Hi, Austin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Austin, as you mentioned before, you're getting right back in there and you're going right for a world title just after you lost one. How do you feel about having the opportunity to win back immediately what you lost?
I think a guy doesn't make mistakes. In my loss, I learned a lot of things. You know, I learned a lot of things, and it's helped me tighten up my game, tighten up my business. And so in a sense, you know, the lessons learned kind of eased enough for me, and to be able to come right back and get back to my world title, it's kind of predestined in my opinion. Like, I believe God does everything for a reason, and he put me right back in this spot to put me back to where I need to be. Had I won, I probably would have never learned these lessons that unfolded themselves.
All right, now, Eric Bondi said that he believes that you're going to run in the fight, that you won't stand toe-to-toe with him. It comes down to a situation where you basically have to do that. Will you stand in the trenches with him?
Have you ever seen me run in a fight? As opposed to Eric Landy Lotta, that's all he does in the ring. So, I mean, he's just talking. I mean, I'm not a runner. I box, but I don't run. You know, I like to fight, which I can't say about him. If you watch my fights, you'll see. I don't run.
All right, now, when you look at his last fight, do you think the type of war that he had in Gulu could actually take something out of him?
Yeah, and that war was brought by Angulo. Lotta didn't want no part of that war. He was in a war because he had to, you know, survive. I think that's hilarious. He says that I'm a runner. That's his M.O. He ran from Cuba. He runs in his fights. You know, he's a Usain Bolt of boxing. So the total fight would be in my favor.
All right, well, now having heard Laura, does it give you extra motivation to beat him because he's talking so much before this fight?
You know, he talked to us before the fight was even made, and once the fight was made, he got real quiet. Whether I like him or don't like him, which I don't, it's not going to change the fact that I'm going to try to take his head off.
All right. My question's now for Eric Blondi. You've heard Austin speak there. He's saying that he's not going to run from you. Why do you think he's going to run?
La pregunta es para ti, Eric Blondi. Austin Trout dice que no va a correr, que se va a parar para pelear contigo. ¿Tú por qué crees que va a correr?
Porque eso es lo que siempre ha hecho, ¿no?
That's what he's always done. Because that's what he's always done in all the fights.
Es lo mismo que pelear en la media distancia que pelear en la larga distancia, en la media de la puerta. Es lo mismo.
Talking about.
It's not the same to stand and fight right in front of you at a fighting distance than to be standing far away and trying to fight far away.
All right. Well, Eric Bondi, you were dropped twice in your last fight with Angulo. What did you learn from that whole experience?
Te tiraron dos veces, Eric Bondi, en la última pelea con Angulo. ¿Qué aprendiste de eso?
No, eso no. Vamos a ver el mérito de Angulo. Angulo fue tremendo boxeador, se preparó en perfecta condición y vino a ganar. Vino a hacer su trabajo, me conectó buenos golpes, me llevó a la lona. Okay. Pero me paré y supe responder con mi trabajo.
You know, yeah, you're right. You know what? Yeah, he did drop me twice, but we're talking about Angulo, who's a very good fighter. He's a big puncher. He came to win. He was well-prepared, and he caught me with perfect punches. You know, they can pretty much drop anybody, but the fact is that I did get up, and I finished the fight, and I won.
All right, my final question for you is, Bondi, you've had a few decisions that obviously didn't go your way the way that you wanted to. If this fight goes to scorecards, do you feel confident that you will get the decision?
Obviamente, tienes dos peleas más o menos que fueron la distancia, no te dieron la decisión. Pero tú tienes la confianza que si esta pelea va a la distancia, puedes ganar por puntos.
La dos peleas que tengo que no me dieron la decisión, tengo que recordarle a todos y que tengan bien presente que no perdí en la cartelera mía, perdí en la cartelera de los contrarios. Quiero que tengan bien presente eso. No peleé en la cartelera de donde voy, peleé en la cartelera de Paul Williams y peleé en la cartelera de Vane. No tienen que ver nada conmigo. Por supuesto que van a hacer todo lo posible para que su peleador luzca bien. Hicieron, a mí me la quitaron con Paul Williams y me la empataron con Vane, que nunca lo vi así. Todo el mundo que sabe de boxeo, nadie vio esa decisión a favor.
Yeah, you have to remember that there's technicalities in those two fights that I didn't get the decision, and part of it was that I fought on other promoters' fight cards. When I fought Vanes, it was a top ranked show, and when I fought Paul Williams, it was Paul Williams' promoter, Goosen. So I fought with them. This time I'm fighting under my promoter's banner, and that's the difference.
All right, well, thank you both, and good luck on December 7th.
Gracias a todos.
Thank you.
Okay, we have one more question for you guys, and then we're going to turn it over to the next group. So go ahead with the last question, operator.
Okay. And that question comes from James Meyer with The Boxing Voice.
Hi, yeah, thanks a lot for taking my call. My first question is going to be for Austin. Austin, when Laura's name was brought to your attention to be a possible opponent in the future, what was the first thing that was going through your head? Was it that beating Laura would keep you at the elite level, or was it that beating Laura would legitimize your name in the sport?
It was both. You know, beating him would definitely put my stake in as the best in the 154-pound division. I had a little setback in April, and I think Laura's the type of name and opponent that put me right back into the runnings as the best. You know, after taking over the 154-pound division, I want to be pound for pound. So, you know, first things first, get past this cat, get my belt back, unify the belts, and then go after the pound for pound big hitters.
All right, thanks a lot. And then my next question is for Aris Landi. On this call, we've mentioned a few times the loss with Paul Williams. Is there anything that you're going to be doing different in this fight, maybe looking for a knockout or more aggressive, to kind of prevent the judges from even needing to score the fight?
Obviamente se ha mencionado Aris Landi varias veces en esta llamada, la derrota con Paul Williams. ¿Hay algo que vas a hacer diferente en esta pelea? ¿Vas a ser más agresivo, vas a atacar más para que no te pase,
no
sucede lo que pasó con Paul Williams?
No, tranquilo. Yo en esta pelea voy a hacer mi trabajo, que eso es lo importante, hacer mi trabajo, y con mi trabajo voy a tener mi resultado.
I'm gonna be calm. I'm gonna be calm in this fight. I'm gonna be calm. I'm gonna do my job, and I'm very confident that doing my job is gonna have the results, and I'll be fine, and I should win.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. That's all the questions I have. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Richard, we're gonna switch over. So we want to say goodbye to Austin and to Islandi. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you, guys. Gracias, Islandi, and I see you guys in New York.
Okay, gracias.
All right. Okay, gracias. Thank you.
Hey, gracias a todos.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we have Devin the Great and Sean the Dangerous Porter on the phone?
Devin, are you there?
Yep.
Okay,
right.
Devin, that's Sean.
Sean, you all?
I'm here.
Okay, Eric, I think we don't need you either now, but thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Richard.
Yes, so we are moving to the semi-main event, great world title fight with Devin Alexander against Sean Porter. Devin Alexander, without any question, one of the big names in the sport of boxing, former IBF junior welterweight and WBC super lightweight world champion, record of 25-1, has has some of the wins, Lucas Matisse, Marcos Maidana, Juan Urango, Junior Wither, and on. That's why it makes him the star and the big name he is. And with Sean Porter, we have a one of the United States' best amateur boxers at that time, top welterweight fighter, scored this earlier this year a dominant 10-round decision over previously unbeaten Phil Logreco, and set the record straight this past September when he pounded out a clear-cut 10-round decision in the rematch with Julio Diaz. Certainly a young fighter, a hungry fighter, a fighter who is ready to become world champion, and when the opportunity presented itself to fight against Devin Alexander, he was immediately on board. This is the kind of opportunities young emerging stars are waiting for, and Sean Porter is going to be coming on December the 7th to the Barclays Center, not to pick up a paycheck, that too, but to pick up a world title. And I know he's always exciting. He's going to be well prepared. It's a pleasure now for me to introduce to you Sean Porter.
Hey, everybody.
Sean, you here? Oh, good.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to make some opening comments?
No, I just want to let you guys know that training camp is going good, working hard, studying Devin all day, every day. And, you know, when I'm not studying him, I'm in the gym. So doing what a professional athlete is supposed to do, staying on top of my grind day and night, and I'll be ready December 7th.
Great. Thank you, Sean. I'm going to introduce to you now, to you all, Devin Alexander. Devin Alexander, as I said, former IBF junior welterweight and WBC super lightweight world champion. He moved up in 2012. To the welterweight division and was crowned the IBF welterweight world champion by defeating Randall Bailey right there at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. So he's going to come back to the scene and he's going to want to make his next world title defense. He earlier this year made the first title defense against Lee Purdy in a match that only went 7 rounds after he was being stopped. After Alexander stopped Purdy by way of technical knockout. And so now here he is making his next world title defense from the Barclays Center. Please welcome Devin Alexander.
Hello. Hello, you guys, media, and everyone on the phone. You know, this is an awesome fight. We know what Sean Porter is going to do. We know he's going to be ready, but it's not going to be enough.
All right. Devin, any further comments? Training camp went well?
Hey.
Are you there?
Devin? Okay, operator?
Yes.
Can you check Devin's line? I think we just dropped him.
He got dropped already?
Good comeback.
Hello?
Devin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about
that. That's all right. Why don't we go ahead and open it up?
All right, let's open it up.
I was talking, but you guys didn't hear me.
Okay. No problem.
Okay.
You want to repeat yourself then?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Training camp is going good. Again, I'll say hello to the media that was on the phone. Training camp is going good. I'm in tremendous shape. I'm going to be ready to go 12 4 rounds. If less, that's great too. But I'm training to go 12 4 rounds. And Sean Porter better be ready December 7th because, you know, nobody's beating me. Nobody. So be ready.
All right, thank you, Devin. Let's open it up to the questions.
If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Our first question comes from Dan Raphael with ESPN.
Hey, guys. Devin, how you doing? Got a couple questions for you. Devin, are you there? Kelly, did we lose Devin again?
Hang on one second.
I'm here. Yeah.
You hear me all right, Dev?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, a question for you. You know, earlier this year you were supposed to fight Kell Brook. Was considered a pretty big fight for both of you guys. He dropped out with the injury. He ended up fighting a replacement in Lee Purdy. And for this fight in December, there was everybody thought, Richard said many times, both sides seemed to be into it, that you were supposed to fight Amir Khan. And what would have been a pretty big fight. You know, for whatever reason, he decided not to fight you. And now you're fighting Sean Porter, who, you know, no disrespect to Sean, he's not as big of a name at this point in boxing as Khan was. And I'm wondering from your point of view, after the disappointment of the Brook fight dropping out and then Khan deciding not to fight you, you know, are you feeling a little let down by the way your schedule has gone this year?
Well, I mean, you know, I just let my team handle that. Of course, I want the big names. I want the big wins so I can get the notoriety that I want. And, you know, like you said, Kell Brook fell through and the American fight fell through, which both would have been great wins for me. But everything happens for a reason. You know, I'm just a fighter. If the fighters don't want it, if they don't, you know, want to get in the ring with me, what can I do? Only thing I can do is trust in my team to give me the best, you know, opponent, the best, you know, things that I need at the time. So, hey, maybe it's not meant for me to fight a UK fighter, you know, because every time I'm scared to fight one of them, something happens. So, you know, I just leave it up to my team. And if Sean Porter is going to be the next victim, then so be it. So, hey, what can I do?
Well, you did fight Lee Purdy, who was from the UK, so I'm not sure if that theory holds up.
Oh, yeah.
But my question, though, to continue on that topic is, with regard to Brooke, you know, he had a legitimate injury, obviously, with the stress fracture. So there was an understandable reason why he couldn't fight you in July, I guess it was, I forget what month it was, but he didn't fight you because of the injury. But Amir Khan doesn't have an injury. So what are your thoughts about Amir kind of doing the dance with you to negotiate and saying that he was going to fight you and all this other stuff and then backing out?
You have to be a true champion and a true fighter. You know, I'm an old school fighter, and I'll fight anybody. You know, something happened to Khan Kemp. I mean, I just don't know. I can't call it. You know, there's a lot of rumors out there about why Khan pulled out or why this, why that. But I can't speak on that. You know, I wanted to fight, you know, because I know that fight would have, you know, gave me the notoriety that I needed. I'm one of the best welterweights in the division. And, you know, it didn't happen. So who knows what he's thinking, what his team's doing, I don't know. I think that they thought I was a big risk, that I was too much right now for him or whatever. I don't know, but I was ready to fight him in December, but he pulled out, so it didn't happen that way.
So now you have Sean in front of you, who was an undefeated young fighter. Obviously, just even based on his opening remarks, seems hungry. I've watched him a long time. I know he's probably really up for this this challenge that you present to him. Have you seen him fight before, and what do you think about his potential to be a champion someday?
Yeah, I have saw him fight before. I know Sean Porter from the amateurs, and, you know, I fought him when I was little, and I beat him, and I don't see no difference in December 7th. You know, might as well keep the thing rolling. But I know Sean. You know, he's a good fighter, good kid. But you know, his skills is limited. I mean, you can't beat me if you're limited. You know, you have to be something special. And, you know, I'm gonna be ready December 7th, whatever he brings, whatever you know him and his dad has planned. It's not gonna work because my coach is a master strategist. He you know, broke Sean Porter down from the feet to the head, so it doesn't matter. So we'll be.
When did you fight him as an amateur, Devin?
On Ohio State Fair. Before I met the Ohio State Fair.
Ohio State, what was that? Ohio. What was the tournament you fought him in?
Ohio State Fair, yeah.
And do you remember the fight? How long ago was that?
Man, that's when I was like 8 or 9.
Oh, you were a little kid.
Yeah, I was little, man.
You actually remember the fight? I mean, you had a lot of amateur fights.
Yeah, I remember the fight. I remember the fight very well. That was one of my bigger tournaments that I went to when I first started. So That's one of the ones that stuck with me that I remember because it was one of the very first ones that my coach took me to.
Would you win a decision in the fight?
And it was some rides or some roller coasters, and I was excited to be there. So I was a kid, so you know I was happy like a...
Did you win a decision?
Okay. Yes, yeah.
All right, thank you for that, Devin. Hey, Sean, do you remember that fight that he's talking about? You're even younger, I think, than Devin is.
Yeah, I remember going 3 1-minute rounds, throwing pillows at each other. I remember that.
So you're saying not much of a fight then, not a real fight?
Nah, man, he said it's not much difference between then and now, but, I mean, we grown men now, and, you know, I'm like you said, I'm hungry and I'm up for the challenge. So December 7th, and, you know, I ain't got much trash talking to do, but we'll see December 7th.
So one other question for you then. Where I understand where Devin's coming from in the disappointment maybe that Khan decided not to take that challenge because he wanted to fight the bigger name. On the opposite end of that, you got to be thrilled that Amir Khan didn't take the fight because now you get a shot at a world title. Can you talk about just your enthusiasm for seeing what happened with Khan rejecting the fight and you getting the opportunity now to get, you know, what's the biggest fight of your career by far?
Most definitely, like you said, just a lot of enthusiasm. Seeing, you know, after I fight, you know, watching to see who's going to make what moves and, you know, what belts are going to be fought for and all that kind of stuff. When I saw that, you know, Amir Khan was talking about fighting Devin, you know, I kind of said, okay, well, maybe we'll get one of those two after that fight. And when Amir stepped down, it was like, okay, it's got to be me, you know. And so you waiting by the phone, waiting on it to be you, and then finally it's you, you know. So just a lot of excitement built up inside my body, and I can't wait to let it out. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be, you know, ready mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, all the way. I'm a well-rounded fighter. I got way more to bring to the ring than Devin thinks, and I'm going to show him that on December 7th.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. I'll see you in Brooklyn. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan.
Our next question comes from Lem Satterfield with the Ring TV.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm blessed. I'm doing well. Hey, you spent a number of years, I don't know how long, in terms of fights, maybe you could tell me, as the sparring partner for Manny Pacquiao. Obviously, he's a southpaw. Can you tell me how many fights that was and what do you gain from that experience heading into this fight against Devin, who's a southpaw?
Yeah, I trained with Manny for Miguel Cotto, and then also again for Shane Mosley. So I got a lot of rounds under my belt with Manny Pacquiao and a lot of experience. But I think more than anything, it just makes me comfortable against fighting a southpaw with some quick hands and some quick feet. It's nothing that I've never seen before, nothing that I've never, you know, been in the ring with, you know. So I think December 7th, I'll be bringing a little bit more to the ring than Devin will in terms of, you know, experience against fighters, against the fight style that I'm up against. You know, Manny Pacquiao is arguably one of the best of our time and right now. And, you know, I've gone toe-to-toe with him. I backed him up. I've made him, you know, literally fight me, you know. So I've just, you know, a lot of experience in the gym and around the world fighting, you know. So this is, you know, an opportunity that Richard Schaefer spoke on that you can't help but rise to the occasion, and I'm excited about it, and I will be ready for it.
Okay. And Devin, you there?
I'm here. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? First of all, you've had some pretty solid performances at 147 pounds, and you've said that the reason for some of your, you know, questions in the fights you had during the latter part of your 140-pound career were because of weight loss. You came real close to having a really signature performance against Maidana, and I know your criticism of yourself was that had you had that fight again, you would stop him. Could this be the signature fight that you're looking for against a solid opponent that you can look spectacular? If so, what aspects of your game do you think will be accentuated against Sean Porter?
Well, as you guys can see, you know, I'm steady learning. Every fight, I'm getting better and better. When I made my move to 147, you know, each fight I got better and better and better. I'm learning something different every day. you don't see just one style in Devin, Alexander. You can see me just stand there, or you can see me box, or you can see me do multiple things. So, you know, that's what people are not realizing. But this fight, you know, is going to be one of my signature fights. You know, Sean Porter is going to come to fight. Of course he is. He's supposed to. That's what he's supposed to do. But it's not going to be enough. I believe in my skill. You got to believe in yourself. Believe in your skill. And, you know, Forrest Young sparring Pacquiao. I'm not a sparring partner. I don't go around sparring people. I don't have that mentality. When you go around sparring other fighters, you know, you can get that sparring mentality like, you know, I need to take a break. I need to take off. You know, I need to let him beat me up. I don't have that, you know, and I'm not a sparring partner. You know, you can have all the experience in sparring and this and that, but this is fighting. When you get in the ring, it's about skill. It's about, you know, who implement they craft on who. So, you know, I'm getting better and better. You're going to see December 7th, what I'm going to do. You know, I'm getting better. You guys are going to say, wow, he is getting better and better at each fight. So you got to see.
Hey, Devin, my last question for you is, how is your left hand, the one you injured against Purdy, and how is the, you know, obviously you wanted to get in the ring earlier. How has the time off helped you?
Oh, the time is good. You know, everything happens for a reason. God is no joke. You know, when he has a plan in motion, he makes sure everything is set. You know, my hand is good. I had it well rested. I did therapy for at least over a month and a half.
I think we lost him again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, say that again about your therapy.
Yeah, the left hand is good. I've been doing therapy for about a month and a half, and I've been throwing my left hand like a rocket ship. And you guys will see more of that come December 7th. You got to go see multiple punches. And, you know, I'm in tremendous shape, like I said, and I'm ready to rock.
What did you say about how you're going to throw it like what?
Like a rocket.
Okay, thank you very much, and good luck on December 7th.
Thanks, Lam.
Our next question comes from Mike Woods with Sweet Science.
Hi, thanks for taking the time. The question is for Sean. Sean, Devin called your skills limited. I'm wondering how you take that. You take offense to it. And also, I do have to think that Devin is the best guy that you've ever fought, right? I mean, this is at least one step up from anyone that you've ever fought before. Is he not?
Well, he's the world champion, so he's got to be the best up to this point. And as far
and your reaction,
as
here,
yeah, I mean, as far as he calling my skills limited, that gives me confidence that he doesn't know what he's up against. That gives me confidence that he won't be 100% ready for this fight. If he hasn't seen anything yet that I can't beat him with, he will see it December 7th. That's for sure.
And it sort of technically, how do you see this fight unfolding? You're going to give me a game plan, but what sort of fight do you see happening? A distance fight, trading, or slip boxing? What kind of a fight are we going to see?
He's a good boxer. I'm not going to try to box him, early in the fight. He's quick. You know, I got to match his quickness. I got to match his speed, and I'm more powerful than him. So I think more than anything, you see me rough him up and show that I'm the powerful better boxer that night.
And Devin, what do you think of that game plan from Sean? He says he's more powerful than you, thinks he can rough you up.
Well, that's what a lot of people say until they get in the ring. That's what my diamond said. That's what your angle said. That's what a lot of fighters that I fought, you know, I've heard that before. I've heard the same song, you know, Chrissy does it, this and that. You know, I think his power is limited, you know, and you saw what happened. You know, people better stop underestimating my power because it's there. But you'll see, you know, like I said, his game plan is his game plan, but that doesn't mean that's the right game plan. So,
And for guys and fans who haven't seen maybe too much of Sean Porter, can you give me an assessment, a scouting report of what he brings to the table, strengths and weaknesses?
Mm-hmm.
I said for fans and that especially haven't seen much of Sean Porter, can you give me a scouting report, what he brings to the table, his strengths and his weaknesses?
He brings toughness. He's going to be tough. He's going to be game. He's not just going to lay down. And you got to be in shape, you know, and he's going to come prepared. And he got some skills. You know, like I said, this is boxing. He's been boxing since he's an amateur, so he got to have some type of skills. You know, he did it for a reason, and, you know, you can't take him lightly, you know. And I'm going to this fight like, you know, I'm fighting Floyd Mayweather, and that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. Like fighting Floyd Mayweather. All right, thanks very much, guys. I appreciate your time. Have a good fight.
All right, thanks.
Our next question comes from Jenna J. with On the Ropes.
Two. I think
something's going on with their phone.
Hi, Devin. The question I have for you is that you became a champion at the age of 22, and a lot of people kind of forget that. You're only 26 years old right now. Do you think right now that you've fully matured as a fighter?
I definitely, you hit the nail right on the coffin. You know, I definitely have. I see a lot of things that I used to do that I could have been doing, but I'm doing them now. You know, my confidence level is up. You know, I'm highly motivated. I'm focused. I'm zoned in, and that's why I say nobody sees me. You know, and I'm at a point in my career that I'm at the peak of my career. You know, I'm at the prime, and, you know, I'm fully focused, I'm zoned in, and that's why I said nobody can beat me. When I'm zoned in and focused and mentally prepared, can't nobody beat me, and that's where I'm at right now.
Okay, my next question is now for Sean Porter. Sean, being the fact that you avenged your only blemish against Julio Diaz in your last fight, does that give you extra confidence going into this fight?
Yeah, a lot of confidence coming off of that fight. I think every fighter, you know, we go to the gym every day wanting to improve and learn and get better. And I think in that fight, I'm able to take a look at that fight and see where I've improved and gotten better. And that more than anything gives me confidence knowing that I can do all of what I did in that fight against Diaz and more than that against Devin to beat him. So a lot of confidence built up inside me right now and around my camp as well.
My final question is actually for Richard Schaefer. Richard, you still on?
Yes, I am.
Richard, the question I have for you is in this fight is at welterweight. Are you ideally looking to match the winner of this fight with the winner of Malinaji Judah?
Well, you know, the welterweight division, as the super welterweight, junior middleweight as well, are very loaded divisions. I think the 147, the welterweight, is probably the most loaded of any division in the sport. So there's a lot of opportunities and possibilities there. Certainly, the winner of that fight is one of the possibilities, but there's so many other names there at 147, which could be potential opponents for the winner of that fight.
All right. Well, thank you all for answering my question. Good luck on the 7th.
Thank you.
Oh, great. We have one last question for these guys, so go ahead with the last question, then we'll wrap it up.
And that comes from Chris Williams with the C Boxing Info.
Hey, Devin. Hey, Sean. Sean, we sat at the MGM, and we talked a little bit about the goals. You were at the Mayweather weigh-in, and you talked a little bit about how you wanted to be in the situation. Tell us a little bit about how this opportunity falls in line with your goals.
It's great, man. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's funny because sometimes I may just, you know, walk past the door and see my reflection in that window and just think to myself, oh, that's what a world champion looks like, you know. So it's like everything that I've ever wanted, everything that I've been working for, literally is coming to pass now. And it's a wonderful feeling. I know that it's a great opportunity that I actually, you know, I have to get in there in the ring and do everything that I'm talking about doing. But the best part about it is I believe that I can, and I'm excited to get in there and do it and perform at the Barclays Center, which is just an unbelievable venue and just, you know, a lot of excitement. And like you said, becoming a world champion, that's number one goal right now. So I'm actually just the other day thinking to myself, man, I got to come up with some new goals now because, you know, this ultimate goal is about to be accomplished, and I'm just really excited about it.
Okay. And then finally, the Devin's a dangerous fighter. He's a world champ. But you talked earlier about how you've been studying him on film. Do you look back at the Bradley fight in particular and think how your aggressive style and your improved defense can force him to quit again?
You know what? I'm gonna do whatever it takes to win this fight. If that's making him quit, if that's making him, you know, sit down and not get up, if that's knocking him down and him not getting up, if that's, you know, taking this fight 12 rounds and winning the decision, I'm prepared, and I will be prepared to do whatever it takes to go home with that IBF title. And I'm just too, you know, head-bent on winning that fight and having that title not to have it, you know. So I'm looking forward to nothing after the fight. Everything is just this fight, and that's it. And you take a look at the Bradley fight, and you look at what he did, and, you know, I know that, you know, I'm a little sharper than Bradley was in that fight, and I can get to Devin's body a little bit better than Bradley did, and I can get to his head a little bit better than Bradley did, and I may, you know, do some things a little bit better than Bradley did. And, you know, if it comes to Devin quitting, which, you know, the kid is from St. Louis, I'm not expecting him to quit at all. I'm expecting him to come 100% with his best, and like you said, in his zone. And I think this will make for a great fight. You see two fighters, two young fighters in the zone fighting for one goal, and that's that world championship belt. He's trying to keep it. I'm trying to take it. It's going to be an exciting night, December 7th, and I'm ready to do whatever it takes to win that fight.
Okay. Well, thank you again. You're not saying kids from Cleveland aren't as tough as St. Louis, right?
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
I said that you're definitely not saying kids from St. Louis are as tough as kids from Cleveland, right?
Not at all, man. We do what we have to do, you know, as fighters, you know. So I think, you know, from that aspect, you know, it's just a mutual respect. You know, I know where he's from. I know what he's about. And I'm pretty sure that he knows the same. If not, he knows that I've been around this game long enough to know that I got to come 100% on December 7th or I can't win the fight. So there's no questions that will be that won't be answered before we get to that ring December 7th. And you know, you see some fireworks December 7th for sure.
All right.
Hey, I got a question. Are you there?
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I got a quick question. Did you see Sean get cut in any of his fights?
Huh?
You've seen Sean get cut in his fights? Headbutts, cuts?
Okay, just make your point then.
The point I was making was we've been cutting our fights. We continue. We don't stop. We don't blink like Devin did and rub his eye and say, I got something in the wrong eye, not the eye that I got hit in, not the eye I got cut in, or anything to that effect. We're coming to win. We have absolutely nothing that's going to stop us. I'm going to cut the kid before he go in the ring. We ain't going to have no excuses, Devin. No excuses.
Okay, and who was that just said that, please? Just for media identification.
That's the trainer.
Remember your name?
Okay, I'm confused. Is there anybody else confused?
Yeah. Stay confused. December 7th,
right,
baby. Stay confused.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you to everybody. I just want to say, I think what we've seen in those two interviews we had today with Lara and Trout and Alexander and Porter is there's certainly sparks, and those sparks will carry into the ring on Saturday night, December the 7th. Great quadruple header, three world title fights. And again, I think what we have done, Golden Boy, this year is to make it affordable for as little as $25. Yes, $25, you can be in one of the best venues in the world, the Barclays Center, brand new multi-billion dollar facility, and you're going to be able to see three world title fights and the title for Pride, the Pride of Brooklyn Pride, between Mark Malignaggi and Saab Chuda. All that for as little as $25. I think make sure that your readers or your audience will know about it, and they're going to show up on December the 7th. Very proud to put that card at the Barclays Center. Thank you very much, Devin. Thank you very much, Sean, and I'll see you all on December the 7th.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks,
everybody. That concludes our call. Bye-bye.